All right, everybody. This is what it's all about. We're not here just to holler and shout, because we can all be written in, but we can also be written out. So hold the pace, keep the faith, win the race, stand firm and stout, because we've all been written in, but we can also be written out. So let us stand and declare this day that world peace is no longer on the way, because now it is here, and forever it will stay. But to you, America, this is it. This is your last chance to cut the shit, America. America, we would not have to be here today. Oh, if only you had taken the righteous way, America. America, we have witnessed the suffering and witnessed the shame of uncontrolled greed and financial gain. But that was the basis of slavery, to build the home of the brave and the land of the free. America. America, we would not have to be here today. Oh, if only you had taken the righteous way, America. America, we are speaking to those who claim to be in some position of high authority. Why don't you take some of that there space program money and shelter the homeless and feed the hungry? Why not say no more war, please? And let's fight this battle against pollution and disease. All these people struggling in the streets. And, America, we would not have to be here today. Oh, if only you had taken the righteous way, America. We may not laugh when you pass, but we sure won't cry when you die, America, because this is it. This is your last chance to cut the shit, America. America, you've seen us suffer. You've seen us down. You've seen us in these dungeons and all around the town. You've seen us fallen and you've seen us well. You've seen us suffer in all of your hell. But not to fumble and not to stumble. No longer to crawl and no longer to fumble. We stand before you, America, alive and well. Yes, good evening, good morning, late night. It's early here on the Big Island. I am the boss. The unofficial boss of the universe, and I am in the spirit tonight, folks. All on your knees. Oh, hear the angel's voices. Oh, holy night. Oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night, deep. You know what they said? Vine, oh, night divine. Yeah, good evening. I am in the mood. This is one of my favorite times of the year. Yes, I love you all out there. I don't know if I'm going to be doing this next year. I got lots of things to do. I think I'm going to go subscription. I'm starting to get feedback. People say, we can't spend enough time with you. What are you talking about? We want to know more. I thought tonight I'd give you a little bit more, you know? I just opened up some of my favorite books here because it is coming around Christmas time, and I wanted to let y'all know, if you haven't gotten some gifts for yourself, here's one that I, the boss, am recommending you all get, and that's to get the trilogy. Now, there's lots of trilogies out there. You can bother to go and get Star Wars. You could go and get Quo Vadis or something. I don't know. All these different things that you can get. But I'm recommended that you get the thriller. And I ain't talking about the one in Manila. I'm talking about the one that was written based upon what people say. Now, that's important, you see. Now, before I get too far into it, you're probably saying, well, go ahead and tell us what trilogy you're talking about. Well, you know, if you're regular listener of Mission Possible, you know I am touting Mr. Bob Wirth. Yes, that's right, your big old Watergate man who was fed by Catherine the Great. I don't know who Deep Throat might have been, but I always thought that they were referring to a woman. But then again, I don't think they were talking about Hoover. Oh, yeah. You see, you can't live in America and be in power lest ye be black, male, mate, fate. Ah, you see, the key here is blackmail. You can't sit in powers and in ivory towers lest you are able to be blackmailed. Now, I don't know if Bob is working for the CIA. All I know is he asked the question in a good one, folks. He said, I'm really interested in how it is that men make decisions, and now women too, make decisions to march off to war, to decide to go to war, to create a preemptive strike, kind of like, we're going to clobber you before you even get ready to clobber us, even though we know you're not capable of clobbering us because we sent you, you see. So this is why I dedicate this show tonight to Mr. Don Nicola. That's right. You know why I dedicate it to him? Because he's right on time on, and I want you to listen to his show. If you don't know what night he's on, go to bbsradio.com and look him up. And look him up and listen up. Start listening up, because what you're going to realize is that the inside hour that you hear on Tuesday and Mission Possible, which you get on Sunday, and then Don's show, whenever it's on, I think it's after ours on Tuesday, I'm not sure, but check the schedule. You know, call in, check the schedule. You need to support, because what's happening here is you don't have the alternative medium. You have the solution. We are talking about people who are right in tune and on time. You won't find no antagonistic skepticism being discussed between the Inside Hour, Mission Possible, or the show. And Don, you can chime in here and tell me what the name of the show is. I'm away from my computer, so I have nothing but my books here. I'm open to Proverbs 13, you know. I'm going to give you a little bit of the wise son heareth the doctrine of his father, but he that is a scorner heareth not when he is reproved. Of the fruit of his own mouth shall a man be filled with good things, but the soul of the transgressors is wicked. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his soul, but he that hath no guard on his speech shall meet with evil. The sluggard willeth and willeth not, but the soul of them that work shall be made fat. The just shall hate a lying word, but the wicked confoundeth and shall be confounded. Justice keepeth the way of the innocent, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. One is as it were rich when he hath nothing, and another as it were poor when he had great riches. Ho! You could go on and on and on, and what you find is wisdom. You keep moving through the proverb, and you just open up anywhere. My father told me, you know, the divining is in the book. The divining shows the way, you see. It's talking about wise sons heareth, you see. So I said, my goodness, there are a lot of wise people out here, and they hear it. What happens is that they get interrupted by somebody selling something or doing this, and I'm like not really into it. That's why I don't have no sponsors. I just have good friends who pay for my radio show. I'm coming down to the end of their charity, and I'm looking for some more friends. That's what I'm looking for. So this year, Christmas, I just want to know you're out there. And if you're out there, buzz me. I want to give you something, and I'll get it to you. But what I want to say to you is I need the feedback. That's what alternative radio is all about. It does not survive unless there's audience participation, unless there's audience appreciation, unless people hear and then respond. And it's on this that we create the glow, the shine that carries us through and can change the temper of a meeting, because the information that you got was so solid that it was the great aha of the moment. You see, as we're moving through this whole play, you got to look at the speed of thought. There's the speed of light, and that's basically where I first started in my investigation, and that light took me to lasers, and the lasers took me to a page. It took me to rubies, and then it took me to synthetic rubies. And through my understanding of synthetic rubies, I went straight to, now dig this, listeners, I went straight from synthetic rubies, all right, into the gemstone file. Now, this blows my mind, because as a researcher, I'm just looking for and to understand lasers. And why was that? Because I knew that mass communication was going to be dependent upon it, that satellites were going to be used for it, and it engaged my attention. And all of a sudden, through typing synthetic rubies into them, I am given to a story and a man's name appears before my eyes. Aristotle Onassis, you say. And I'm like, what does Aristotle Onassis have to do with synthetic rubies, which has to do with lasers, which has to do with a new technology, even more exciting than radar was in the 40s that Sir William Appleton brought to the forefront, and from there television and all the rest of it came. You know, it's not real, it's just play things. And so I delved into it, and it took me to, and I knew through Maria Callas, you see, it's about relationships. I had this man, Aristotle Onassis. I knew him as Aristotle Onassis, the boyfriend of many years of Maria Callas, great soprano. So here I am with Maria Callas, Aristotle Onassis, and I'm reading her biography, and I'm reading his story, and I'm starting to see a picture of intelligence, you see. He is a man who has been quoted as saying that this is a thriller. This story of the American government is a thriller. And what is it that it's all about? It's about espionage. You see, espionage, you see. These people, and when I say these people, yes, names can be named, and we will name those names. And you know what? You know what? They won't do anything. They won't send a ton of lawyers. You see, people who are being blackmailed can't send tens of lawyers no more. See, when you hit the truth, they got to back up. They got to go, you see. And that's all I want the people who have done the dirty deeds and the nasty things to do, is to just go away. Hope that we're not on your tail, but I do believe we do have the keys, the clues to what is going on. And even then, in infinite mercy and compassion, and that's what I really want people to understand, is why I became a reverend. Why on Tuesdays you know me as Reverend Roxy. This is a real thing. On Sunday night, I'm the boss, all right? I'm getting my words from above, and I'm putting it together with my experience, which is history, which is the life events that you experience. Not through the books, but through your own footsteps, passing over the blood of the slaughtered and the victories and the defeats and everything else, alive and well, standing in 2007 going into 2008, and you realize something in the eternal reoccurrence play that is going on before you. We have all been here before. We have all been here before. What does it look like to me, folks? Well, let the boss tell you, this looks like 1938. Does anybody want out? Does anybody want out? Will you get out? And when you get out, where are you going to go? They describe, I might check out and go to Cambodia. They say they've all but forgiven us for the napalm. I'm willing to go there and see if they can, you know, have a commitment to the very same action that propels every major relationship that people have with the higher power. That's infinite mercy and compassion, and the ability to forgive and to will oneself to forget, to start a new day, a new dawn, to dawn on you that there's another way of being. Great is this day for all who kept faith, and dreadful for others, for it will be their fate. Someone said long ago we would have to decide exactly when we would take this ride. And someone said surely down on earth it would be a mystery. So we filled the earth with clues, because we knew even then who would win and who would lose. This is the truth of the matter, folks, you see. Am I making this up, or is it my credo? Is it true that our deeds travel with us from afar, and what we have been makes us what we are? And isn't it important that if we are to reason the insanity of the contaminators of all time, to reason, to forgive them as we watch our children spin in a hateful union of adults who should be gone by now, pass the baton by now, let them have the stage right now. No, why? Because they can't let go of the data. And why? Because when you read, and I'm telling you, get the trilogy by Bible, get State of Denial, that's the newest, then go and get Plan of the Attack, and then go get yourself a copy of the Commanders. And then, and only then, when you've read all three, which is like a news journal from the time in 1991 when his father decided to do this thing, because he wasn't sure he's going to get reelected, you see, you will read how he behaved when he realized he lost. You will read on these pages, and you will reason with me the nature of these people, what they put in their bodies, what they believe in when they say God, what they believe in when they say we are Americans. I will decode for you what they are saying. And then I will tell you that Don Nikoloff is so right on. Go to the Idaho Observer, call them, just type the name into the search engine, Idaho Observer, and bother them for that brilliant, brilliant article. And you all can be antagonistic and be skeptical about it, but it is the only thing that makes sense about George Bush Sr. that I've heard in a long time, and it coincides, it really coincides with what I know about history, that this young man came into the Bush family, not as a Bush, you see. And he is a supplanter. And this is what's been happening for so long. And what you do is you can work your way backwards and you can understand this in terms of how we get the Kennedys and the Perkins and Massachusetts and Maine and old bonesmen and oyster shells and sulfur, and then it takes you to Texas and then the melons and then into the Rockefellers and the kerosene and the gasoline and the power. It was all doing business. Well, this is true about pre-Nazi Germany and the Nazification of Germany. It was business. It was good for business. Who were these business? Well, if you give yourself another gift, go on Amazon.com, go wherever you need to, and get yourself a copy of The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. When you do this, then you'll understand me and Don, and you'll start to listen with new ears, and the questions that you have, you'll be corresponding with us, you see. The question is, can you keep up with the information? Because the information is going to start leaking out as the elections go. People are going to be eking it out, and you need to understand who these people are when they mention the name Richard Armitage, or when they say, boom, they say Condoleezza Rice. You want to understand. They have tankers named after her. You see, she understands Russian history. She understands it from the white czar's point of view. You then go back to pre-World War I, and you look at what communism threatened the czarists, and so they split with the money down in through Europe and over here and end up in Dallas. See, what you have to understand is that these are the things that Jim Garrison was talking about. Now, that's why there's archives. See, I introduced another name, Jim Garrison, on the Trails of the Assassins. Here's a man who's a district attorney, who's been a military man forever, has his whole family goes back forever. But he smelled something funny, and when he realized that Oswald had been in Louisiana, it became his business, and especially since they was in New Orleans, he had to understand what was going on. And when he opened up the box, he had all manners of things coming out, and yet he could not understand what had happened here. And when he finally did, he named it for what it was. And that's what pulled their covers, and that's why they went after Garrison. He said it was a coup d'etat. This is a coup d'etat. This was in 1963, a coup d'etat that was set up with the assassination of Roosevelt in 1945. And that we had made deals with the Nazis way back prior to the war, and we had a plan that if for some reason Mother Russia would kick the Germans' butts all around Europe, and take over, that they would capitulate, that they would surrender to Winston Churchill and to Eisenhower. And from there, we would then turn our soldiers on the communists, and we would say, forgive the fascists, and don't look at any of the concentration camps or the experimental hospitals or the things that we don't, and don't listen to those people, and don't hate these Germans because they're working with us now. They're giving us all their secrets. We got UFOs, this, and we got rockets that can go to the moon, and we got all kinds of stuff. Don't do this, man. We got mesmerism. We got all kinds of things that can happen here. We got the box. We're ahead now. Let's do it. This is America. This is America. This is American government. Mussolini said it best. He said, fascism is nothing more than to define corporatism. And that is what America is suffering from. Corporatism. Americanism, our way of life. And all I can do is sing the song. As your boss, I can't do much more. I'm like Captain Kirk. What do? I know these things to be true, that you have Nazis in the White House. Black Nazis, white Nazis, Oriental Nazis. They're all Nazis. They deny your freedom. And that's what was happening in 1938, folks. They were defining what you can and cannot say. They were defining what political party was going to exist. They subverted and they supplanted all the political parties, and they brought them to ruin so that the Nazi party could survive. They decimated the unions. The workers' parties had no rights. And then, the big ha-ha for Germany. To be looking and watching your neighbors be carried out and pointing at them and saying, yes, they deserve to go. And each time, knocking on the door, it's you. What are you going to do? You see, that's why we have to defend freedom, as freedom is freedom. There is nothing else but freedom. And when it's something else, they call it something else. And this is what has happened. We have been subverted, and we have Nazis. And Nazis are people who have beliefs, and their beliefs are as strong as my belief in God is. Their belief in government is that strong, because government is the only way in which they can control the destiny of their corporations. You see, E.H. Harriman learned this a long time back, like 1904. He had great visions of having worldwide transportation systems going all the way around the world. And he had a plan, and he mapped it all out, and he called all the people and wrote them and telegraphed them and planned this trip. But because he was a private corporation attending to his own business, he really didn't understand what the government was doing or what the government of Japan was doing and what was happening in China at the time as he was trying to plan his whole thing. So he goes off on his trip, and when he gets where he's going, he realizes the man that he had counted on, who was in power, had been put out of power, and now he had no deal. So E.H. Harriman came back, and along with Roosevelt and a few other people, they figured it out, you know. We got to control the governments of the world in order to make our plan, the great work, as they call it, happen, which is to control the destiny of every human being on the planet, to make the decisions as to who eats and who doesn't eat, who starves, who dies, and who doesn't die, who's unworthy and who is worthy. This is a play. Now, we all been dropped down into it, and we all can either succumb to it, you see, and begin to play that game, or we can create these new characters that are saying, you know what, I got a different play for you, and watch what happens when I do this, you see, because what we're going to do is call them off their course. Now, Hitler, way back when, said it could have happened to him. But once he realized that he had gotten the very government that had made him chancellor, now he started getting more power, and he sent his stormtroopers. Doesn't this sound familiar like today, folks? Can't you see it all, folks? You know, this is what it feels like to be in those times. And I'm looking at it, and I'm saying it's 1938. And there's a lot of people who can tell you that their grandparents or their great-grandparents, they got out. They saw the signs on the wall, and they paid who they had to pay, and they got on planes and trains, and they split. Now, where are you going to go, America, when you realize that you, either Heil Hillary or Heil whoever, I'm excited, folks. I feel like William Shearer, who wrote, I'm living in Nazi America, and now I get to write and I get to speak on bbsradio.com. That's right, and this is Mission Possible, and this is the night before the Christmas Eve. And I'm going to tell you, you better fall down on your knees, and you better give up a big prayer. And I want you to have a clue. You know, George Washington, the great statesman that he was, and you know, he's the one who said, if your country offends you, leave it in quiet resignation. So, you know, he always... There's always except that we don't have people of grace and dignity in the government anymore. You see, that's what you're feeling, folks. That's what you're feeling when you are dealt with the police. That's what you all are feeling when you get tased for asking a question. That's what you're feeling when everything is just kapakai, as we say here in Hawaii. That's when it's time to pray. That's when it's time to give it up, to throw your hands up and say, God, I am your instrument. And for the moment, I have no thought except in the glory and grandeur of you. And in that moment of prayer, something will change. But one thing will be sure. Like it say here in the proverb, you won't be guilty of having filled up the air with a whole bunch of you know who he what, you know. And you'll be able to see more clearly. Isn't that what it's all about? Yeah. So, I don't want you to sit on your hands in 2008, and I sure don't want you to get caught up in stupid. So I want you to really examine these people who say they want to lead us into the, you know, and into this new millennium and in this new time, to really examine them and to examine their hearts and to examine what it is they say and how they react to each other. Because, you know, a good man will leave lots of sons and grandsons behind, and you know, the rest of the people will have to just keep themselves, about themselves. And hate takes care of them because it'll eat them up. And that's what's happening. And what we're seeing now is the dying throes of anarchy and all of that. And as we come into a more spiritual place, this is the place to be, folks. You know, and they say there'll be new worlds here on and new heavens here on earth. That is the way to go, you know, and you have to be very, very aware. But first you have to practice. You see, that's what it is. They say, how you get to Carnegie Hall? You practice. Yeah, it's the old joke, but, you know, practice makes perfect, and perfect practice makes perfect. I just went and saw a show tonight, and I know Maiva. I was in hair with her, and I know this woman is talented, and more than that, she's a director. It's everything. I was absolutely proud of all the children here in Pahoa and the Babes in Toyland as we watched it. But that's going off. You know, it's Christmas, and we're just getting down to the good stuff. 2008, you know, Seth called us today and wanted to know, what do you got in store for? You know, people want to know what you're going to be talking about. And see, that's the beauty of talk radio. If I knew, I would tell you, but then it wouldn't be the same. It really wouldn't be the same. And that is the beauty of the whole stream. You're in the flow. You look at it, and you say to yourself, what do you want my fellow beings to know? I want them to know I love them all. I love every last one of you. I want you to know that there is something going on and that history will repeat itself, but you do not have to be a victim twice. And if you are looking, if you are really studying, if you are a student of life, and you will be asking good questions. And I don't mind you asking questions of me. You know, I love it. Now, this dialogue and this diatribe is going to change in 2008, as I am going subscription. And what does that mean to go subscription? It means that basically I probably come on maybe twice a month to let you know what you can get. And then I will be doing my two-hour tapes, and I'll be able to read and to give you the glean. Right now, I'm just telling you, before me right now, I got my Quran, which tells me about the Day of Judgment and what will happen to all of us. And it's wisdom in here. It tells us about the beast and the latter days of the law. I got Bob Woodard's State of Denial here, and I'm looking at it, and I got some stuff here that's caught out here. And I kind of liken the Reichstag to the 911. It's a good analogy because, like I said, they can't help themselves. They don't have any other way to go but to plan it, like the Reichstag. If you look at the Reichstag fire, you know that the fire burned too hot for it to be just measly little. The guy that they decapitated, when he do his defense in the court and you read the script, he says he started the fire with his shirt and some gasoline. There's no way. There's no way he could have poured the amount of gasoline and flammable and ignitable things that were utilized to burn that rice stock down so that it glowed like the dome was glowing. That was a big building. It should have burned itself out. It would have been just one of them little fires. It's the same story. Jet fuel, gasoline, they can't help themselves. Petroleum, bombs, planes, nobody on the planes, can't find nobody. You understand what I'm saying? It's all confusion. It's not what we're supposed to be looking at. We're supposed to be looking at the man who asked us to bow our heads and 5 minutes later asked us to get back to normal. See, there was no genuine grief. This is the clue that is the key that will pop the lock on everybody's thought. There was not one visible sign of shakiness or grief. There was just warmongering and already identified enemies when the intelligence hadn't even come in yet. And when you read those press, and go to President Bush's website, just type it into the search engine. For those of you who don't know how to get to his website, it's easy. Just go type his name in the search engine. It'll take you right there. Look down, and you'll see it'll say government. And then go down to the press releases. And then keep scrolling down all the way down to September 11, 2001. And read it with your life. Read it, okay? And you will see a document that is absolutely absent of grief, decorum, and assless. Not, I was exaggerating. 5 minutes is an exaggeration. Actually, between the time it happened and 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, our president was asking us to get back to normal. Before all the bodies had been counted, before everything had been done, before anybody knew anything, our president was asking us to get back to normal. This is shades of LBJ. This is shades of Watergate. This is shades of Reichstag, anything. It's all what it is, folks. You're not dreaming. You're active players in this beautiful movie that can... You, the listener, and all the people that you know in your sphere of influence know, this is something we can do something about. And that's going to come with a thought, and it's going to come with a prayer. And I'm asking all of you out there to pray along with me right now that we can hold in our heart the mercy and the love and compassion that it's going to take when you realize what they have been doing. This is even more uglier, even more heinous than anything that they had done in Auschwitz, anything that they had done in because that was behind prison walls. This, what you are going to discover, has taken place in our wide open spaces, in our cities, in our towns, in our villages. They are doing the deed. And that deed can be undone when we stop partaking in their poisonous rhetoric, in their poisonous reasoning, in their poisonous religions of war. Hate. There's no more children to be given over to the beast. There's no more money to pay the debt into the next 3 centuries. There's nothing left, America. And yet, the mirage that you are free is exactly that. We are in one big penal colony. And even then, dignity abounds. Those of us who conspire, and yes, we must conspire, folks. That's what Mission Possible is all about. I know they're going to use my words against me, but I know why my words come out of my mouth. I'm a 200-time visitor to this here planet, and every time I get to this page in history, I'm always tickled to death to be the one to blow it up. Oh, to blow it up so big and so exaggerating. That's where the theater and the music comes in. That's what they feared in the 60s, you see. It's all going to be done in the music, and it's all going to be said and taught in the songs, and those songs are going to be so easy to learn, and they're going to be so easy to recite that they will shake the beast. The beast won't like our songs, because our songs will be songs of truth, and they'll be troubadour songs that will tell the stories of those who have slain the youth and those who have done terrible things. And even then, our mighty Creator says, hey, I'm going to shine the sun on the most worthy and the unworthy. I cannot make any distinction between any of you. I just rise and set and rise and set and rise and set. And the day that it doesn't, that's news, folks. Ho, ho, ho. But right now, we do not live life. Life lives us. And when you learn this lesson, you will learn to trust in something. We, the unwilling, who have been led by the unqualified, have been doing the unbelievable for so long with so little, we now attempt to do the impossible with nada, nothing. Hey, somebody out there, will you tell me what time it is? 7:36 here on the beautiful island. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, family. We are live. We are coming live. It is true. You know, Dr. Len's sitting right here next to me. He's busy. He's doing something here. I don't know what he's doing. We had a beautiful wedding. He had the 100. Yo, he just told me to tell y'all about the concert for the 144,000 voices. Are you ready, folks? This is a reality. It's a reality just like being lies we trust. Is a reality, and it is going forward, and you can get yours. That's right, just go to inliesweetrust.com, www.inliesweetrust.com, and you just scroll on down and do whatever they tell you to do and get yourself a copy and watch it. Now, you know, a lot of people, they have all kinds of ways in which they can learn. Well, this one is entertaining, edutaining, as Dr. Len would say. And I say a bravo to him, for he has taken a very unsavory and unpalatable discussion and made it easy for us to swallow. And we're not serving up pablum here. We are serving up truth, folks, so that you understand that, yes, a lot of you will make the dastardly decision because you don't want to be scorned by your neighbors, and you believe that you have to do this because you got to keep your job, but you're going to line up and get stuck. And I'm not. You know, they may have to just beat me upside the head and all of that, and you know that's what Nazis love to do. And that's what they're creating here. Another opportunity, you see. Back then it was, oh, you don't think Nazis should exist? Boom, you're gone. Oh, next thing you know, you're gone. They don't like opposition, and they want you to kowtow. And if you don't understand that, then you just go back and read your Wilhelm or your Hegel. Yeah, Hegel. What is that? The decline of the West. That's what it is. Yo, go read that. And there they have their solutions to the problem, to the situation. And that is that the individual is here on earth to be a slave to the state. Now, does that sound familiar? And the shakedown artist is the government. And the government that we have here in America is following Adam Smith and Niccolo Machiavelli closer than they follow in the doctrine of the U.S. Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. That is that the government exists to maintain a preparedness for war, to wage war, and then to sit in judgment and reparations so that they can prepare for more war. It's a vicious cycle, folks. It's a vicious cycle. And it's self-defeating at that. And it's self-depleting. Hence why I understand now more than ever. It was like, Dr. Len and I, we've been reaching out to the Hawaiian community, and we've been involved with our state representative, Fei Hanahana, and the whole crowd. Now, it's not lost on me because you know I'm raising Cain, and that means is that I am totally one who understands what sugar, concreted acid, does to the body. And even now and then I imbibed, and even this weekend I imbibed in some delicious cookies. They were all homemade and stuff. I was really happy to taste the concoctions, as you would say, or the concoctions that are coming up. But if one was to push me to the table and ask me to lecture on sugar, I would have to say, next to heroin or next to any of the other drugs that are Schedule One, sugar should be a Schedule One, and that you should only be able to use it by prescription by a doctor. And I doubt that any doctor in his right mind is going to write you a prescription for white dead powder that gives nothing but trouble to the system itself, or it is too sweet. I doubt that any self-respecting doctor is going to subscribe or prescribe aspartame, for those of you who may think that you're escaping by drinking diet sodas. Just type that word into the search engine. I may not be aspartame, or I don't know what they call it, but whatever it's in, just type it in there. This is our favorite way in which we tell you. I tell you, you know, I was talking to Dr. Len the other day, and I said, you know, we should start this new university, and I think the subscription and the dialogue that we're going to put together is, that you'll only be able to get, because we won't be able to talk the way we like to talk, even on BBS radio. It just will blow your mind. You have to be ready for it. This can't be, you can't just let this fall on unsolicited ears. We have some things to tell you. And we only want to talk to those people who are ready to be talked to. So we're going to do kind of like what Mae Brussels did. We're going to do a subscription. We're going to try and get it together where we are dialoguing, and we have it. You'll be able to see us. We'll be able to talk to you. And even then, your prepared questions can be sent, or you can send us little video clippings of yourself asking the questions, and then we'll patch those in when we're doing our show. So we have a real good idea. And we have a thought that we're going to have a university like type thing. And I said, well, you know, I really like having Freedom University. This would please me very much, because I had this idea to have a radio show called K-Now, K-N-O-W, which is K-Now, which is know, and know to know, which is the freedom of knowledge, which is Freedom University. And, you know, then I thought we might make up some T-shirts that, you know, have our logo on it, you know, and then there you'll see it's Freedom University on one side and FU on the other side, and the FU is really big, you know, and it says Freedom University on the pockets. It's really nice T-shirts, folks. You know, I don't know if you want one, but if you want one, you know, you can just call out to the universe and maybe one will come to you, or maybe you'll make your own. It's a great idea. Freedom University, FU. That's it. You know, fun through knowledge. Focus, understand now. That is FUN, fun. Oh, acronyms galore. You know, this is what it's about. Having fun as you bring down the beast. As you stare the beast into its one good eye, is there. If you lost the other one, peeping in holes. That's why everybody's been safe for a while. But now, they've released the beast again, and the beast is okay. They can open up our mail. They can come to our door. They can carry us off and hold us. No habeas corpus, no reason whatsoever, just on the say-so of your neighbor. Doesn't that sound like Nazi Germany? Doesn't that sound like Schindler's List, for those of you who may remember? Some of you have no idea about history unless you be Hollywoodized. And that's what we're kind of dealing with in the lives we trust. Where you get your information about history that has you talking over the cooler, the water cooler, and, oh, I saw this really good documentary on so-and-so-and-so-and-so. And until you really begin to do your own homework, when you begin to ask questions, when you begin to see the murders in your own community, not as just these out-of-the-way kind of things, but really having meaning. The terrorism has been around for a long time. These people have been terrorizing us, and they're getting real good at it. And now is the time for us to turn the tables and scare the bejesus out of them. And how do you scare the bejesus out of them? By letting other people know about them. They do want to know. They do want to know. And when they know, you see, we'll have that mainstream media having to now open the doors and open up the drawers and open up the windows and let the sunshine in. It'll be so chic. Can't you just see them all telling the truth? Can't you see them all clamoring to say, oh yes, we have here tonight Dr. Leonard Horowitz, and he is absolutely correct, and it's going to be ABC, NBC, and they'll be happy to do it because they'll be celebrating their new takeover by a new government, which stands for, I'm dreaming that we can work this out. I'm scheming that we can work this out, you know? But then again, I always remember what Ron L. Hubbard saying about the organism. You know, the organism might want to just die. That everything us prophets are doing, it may be that they just want to die. That we may not be able to save their skin, but we may be able to save their souls. That they may incorporate, incarnate, or whatever. And that maybe, just as the last little ounce of life is leaving their body, they'll get it. And they'll leave that message on to their future generation. Just like Yul Brynner did. We watched him smoke cigarettes for years and years and years. And then he made a video. There he is, dying of lung cancer. And finally, in his death throes, he gets an idea. Gee, I'm going to do a video that tells all the kids not to smoke cigarettes all their life, and they're going to end up dying like me. Well, it didn't stop anybody from smoking cigarettes. Sammy Davis Jr. didn't stop nobody from smoking cigarettes. All these people who died. It's just water under a bridge. I have come, and now I came back to my thought. I have come to the conclusion, folks, that a lot of you out there want to die. Now, I don't know if that's too many of you that I'm speaking to now on BBSRadio.com, but unconsciously, you have been given messages that tell you to do certain things that don't lead to vitality. They lead to death. And until you understand these things, and I'm going to give you a clue, good food goes bad and bad food stays good. Got that? Good food goes bad, bad food stays good. So, all of you, as you prepare for your holidays, can I tell you how easy it is to say yes and how hard it is to say no? I want you to say no to half of whatever it is they put before you. I want you to think about the people all over the world and what they are doing on this day, on Christmas Eve. And I want you to think a little bit more about the spiritual side of the whole holiday season. And I want you to reason yourself into health by not gravitating towards the poisons that denature your life. It's not too much for the boss to ask. It's not too much for me to tell you that yes, 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 tomorrow is Christmas Eve and we'll all be doing something special. And remember what this day is all about and the joyous celebration and being together with your family or in a homeless shelter. They'll be doing special things that night. And all over the world, people will be doing whatever it is they do. I just want you to know, I love you all. I want you to know that I'll be thinking about you all. And I want you to know that the best thing you can do is say no to sugar. Just say no. I'm going to do it. And tomorrow, Christmas Eve, and all the way through Christmas Day, and then in the 9 days after that, I'm going to say no to processed sugar. But I'm in good shape here on the island because I got my cane juice, so it's easy to say, and I'll be making sorbet, and I really want to introduce everybody to it. That's part of the reason why I am going to go to Thailand and why I'm going to check out Cambodia and a few other places. I'm going to check out a few places so I can start to raise cane because I'm just not getting it here in America, and I ain't getting it here in Hawaii. They're bulldozing the cane. Hey, who's that out there?
Hey, it's Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm fine. Speak to me, Rebecca. Speak to me.
Well, you had made a comment, and I was just calling in to get more information.
You go ahead and ask that question.
That Roosevelt had been murdered?
Yeah, girl.
In Warm Springs?
In Warm Springs, girl?
With his girlfriend
now, hold on to your seat now. Hold on to your seat now. You know, I'm hoping that my listeners are listening because I love it when someone asks me, I'm going to expound on it and give you just a little bit more of a hint as to why I say he was murdered, okay?
Okay, cool.
Okay. Now, What you need to know, Rebecca, is that he went on down there for a little vacation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's April 12th, but it's also Friday the 13th in Germany. Okay?
Oh, because it's a day ahead, yeah.
Yes, a day ahead. And even Hitler saw it as, he was really, oh, woe is me, I'm losing, the Russians are kicking my butt. He saw the death of Roosevelt as like an astrological, he had been told that a great thing was going to happen on this day. And someone really engineered for it to happen. Now, the reason why I say he was murdered was because of the way in which they behaved in dealing with the body.
Oh, see, that's always a giveaway, isn't it?
It always is.
Yeah.
Now, Stalin was very put out by Eleanor. Now, why was Stalin put out by Eleanor? Stalin had called his ambassador and said, I want you to check out the body. If he had died, as they say, from a cerebral hemorrhage, the lividity, the blood pooling.
Got it.
It is not a beautiful thing to see someone after they have been dead from a cerebral hemorrhage. You're talking about a massive amount of blood in the face, and it's an ugly thing to see. It's not a pretty thing to see.
Right.
Okay. So he knew that if he got his ambassador to look at the body, he would know whether or not he actually died of a cerebral hemorrhage, or whether or not he had been poisoned. Now, they refused to let the ambassador of Russia view the body. And Eleanor went along with it. Now, the reason why I know this is because there's a chapter in one of Winston Churchill, I can't remember which book it is, but Kermit Roosevelt, Eleanor's son, asked Stalin, how come you won't let my mother come to Russia? How come she can't come and visit? You know, because she was doing a whole thing with the UN. And Stalin told him, because you would not let us look at the body.
Now, was he cremated?
Was Roosevelt cremated? Absolutely not. He was buried.
But they'll never exhume him.
Oh, heck no. Heck no. But it's immediately after. You have to understand where Truman was that day. He was hanging out with Rayburn and all of them from Texas. They were having their that would have been Thursday evening, April 12th. He gets the news on April 12th. And then he's off to the White House, and immediately after that, the whole Manhattan Project went forward, and they made him. Because the reason they had to get rid of Roosevelt and why Roosevelt had to die was Roosevelt would have never gone for a divided Germany. Germany would have never been divided up into four quarters with the French and the British getting in this. He wanted a unified Germany, and that's the way they wanted to come out of the war. And the corporations, they had other plans.
Who would have led the unified Germany, though?
Who would have led it?
Yeah.
Well, of course, Roosevelt. He would have named, just like we're doing over in Iraq and Iran and all these other places, they would have named the powers that be that would have come forward to do it. As you'll see, like when you talk to Don Nikoloff, they assumed a lot of what we had, Operation Paperclip. They came over to America, and they usurped us. It wouldn't have been necessary for them to usurp us. We would have built Germany again to be a defense against Russia.
Oh, interesting. Huh, and have you seen the latest movie out called Eastern Promises?
Eastern Promises?
Yeah.
Tell me about it a little bit, Rebecca.
Viggo Mortensen that's in it. And what it talks about is the Russian mob who came over to London, and they're doing a slave trade with the young girls. And this was all put in motion for the movie before that reporter was poisoned last year. Do you remember that reporter?
No, I'm up on a lot of other things that happen to reporters that start to touch upon or get involved in things. Danny Casolaro and other people. But please, fill our, just give us a little tidbit there.
Well, I don't remember what the reporter's name is, but he had been talking about Putin, and all of a sudden he goes and has lunch with somebody out in an open place in a restaurant, and they place the poison in his glass.
Uh-huh.
And when he was dying in the hospital, and he came out and said this has to be part of Putin and the government, and the KGB is actually running the government, and it's starting to come back again, and so they wanted to suppress the people, and so that's the way they suppressed him. Anyway, you know, the Russian mob being in London probably really isn't that far off. because there's a big thing on National Public Radio about what's been going on in Russia and how it's no longer the democracy that, you know, it appeared to be in the 90s, and how a lot of the control is going back to the KGB, because those are all KGB, ex-KGB, that's running the government over there anyway. And I guess one of the songs that they've come back with has been Stalin's song. And I don't know if it's like something that they play a certain day of the year or something like that, but they're starting to bring back some of these traditions.
Mm. Well, yeah. You know, I see it as being so. As you look at Condoleezza Rice, who's a Russian scholar, see, when I was talking about the white Russian czarists and how they located in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, these people had come in and they became Nazis along with the Germans, you see, because they had a vested interest in destroying the Russian Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they lost a lot. And they have now just gained back their Russian oil reserves through Chevron. Because instead of Chevron going out and looking for more, you know, like buying more fossil fuel, they went and bought up Russian reserves. So the corridors have to be cleared. The terminals are very important. And I know that the boss knows that we are in store for a crisis in the Turkish Straits.
You know, I was wondering why Russia wasn't selling that oil before now, because this is putting them back on the main playing field.
Oh, but they are going to be selling it, but not to us.
No, but I mean, why weren't they selling it before, like in the 70s, or was it because it was still communist?
Yeah,
okay.
And because that suits their purpose. Because
okay.
What happens is that these white czars from that are in the oil corporations over here in America, they had to work hard to get back their oil fields over there in Russia. It took many years, but we're not talking about a whole lot of years. We're talking about 60 years at that, with
right,
the situation
right.
and development of the CIA and the DIA and all the other A's and agencies. But, you know, I'm hoping that you're enjoying Mission Possible. I'm trying to get a feel for the kind of people that are listening, and I'm happy that you heard what I said about Roosevelt, because it'll begin to explain a lot of what happened and how Truman behaved and how Israel was created, and what Osama bin Laden said about, you know, you need to look at who benefited from the partitioning of Palestine, and certainly the oil industry participated greatly.
Oh, so much is going on now, how we were backing, who was it, Iraq, when Russia came in.
Oh, yeah.
And now, all of a sudden, the arms and how we built them up, they're attacking us with. And something had just come out about World War II, about being Pearl Harbor. That was all set up beforehand. And it's just starting to come out that, you know, that it was known.
It was known.
That was going to be happening.
And now with 9-1-1, it's the same refreshing thing. But like every, I always say, I liken it to the way a pedophile will say to a little girl, you are not going to say anything, or we're going to kill your parents too. You don't say anything. Who are you going to tell, little girl? Who are you going to tell?
That's
and
right.
That's where we're at right now, because we know that something is amiss. But who are we going to tell?
Oh, well, even with Timothy McVeigh, because one of the things when I was listening to that was, you know, he died, and apparently that they were going to have him cremated, but no hearse ever left that hospital, and there's no crematorium at that hospital, or at the prison where he was executed. And I thought, and I just heard a little bit about that. You know how sometimes, like, I heard you say, what was that about Roosevelt? I remember hearing that, and it's like, people go, no, and I go, yeah, he was executed there, and he was supposed to be cremated, and there's no crematorium, and no hearse took him away. And when they asked where the ashes were, his lawyer had them. I still think he's around somewhere. He's just had major reconstruction surgery, but he was a puppet.
Yeah. You know, queen of conspiracy, Mae Brussels, she's always first to say and has taught all its researchers to really understand, if you want to know who did what, look at who's destroying the evidence.
Yeah.
Look at who's destroying the evidence, you see. They're the ones that have... And that's what I've been doing. I've been watching these bad boys, Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and all of them, destroying evidence. That's what 9-1-1 was about. That's what the Oakland City bombings were about. It's about destroying prosecutorial evidence and people that could talk about you or say something wrong about you that could create, you know, some type of foothold that they want to have in the government they won't have anymore. It's kind of like with Nixon and Watergate. That was his fall. I see this weapons of mass destruction, if we were to keep it going, this would be Bush's downfall.
Yes.
I seriously am asking people to really look at it, to read the papers, to continue to follow the stories, and to listen to Mission Possible and Inside Hour, Rebecca. Did you get a copy of In Lives We Trust yet?
Pardon me?
In Lives We Trust, Dr. Len Horowitz's new gift to humanity, his whole answer to the CDC and to the government on the bioterrorism.
Okay.
Did you get a copy of that DVD yet?
No.
Oh, well, let me tell you, give your vitals, send them to me at Raisin, R-A-I-S-I-N, Kane,
uh-huh.
Or you could just, you know, hit me with that Google when you go to Mission Possible.
Okay.
And send me an email with your address on it, and I'll send you out an In Lives We Trust.
Okay.
And have you seen the blueprint, Architect for Truth, the Architects for Truth 911 DVD yet?
No.
Okay, I'm going to send you a two DVD just for calling in and talking and asking that good question. We're going to send you an In Lives We Trust and Architects, a Blueprint for Truth. And I hope you'll enjoy them and pass them on to other people and begin to see it's out there. These cowboys are so stuck on stupid that they don't even understand the technological way in which they're supposed to be superior in their lives.
Oh, I know. Bush is doing a very good job. He's doing an excellent job.
Well, he's the nine of diamonds. He's supposed to bring us financial loss.
I know, but he's doing such a great job.
He is.
He's not here. I go, oh, no, he's doing excellent.
Because it's the brightest. You can see the light shines the brightest in the darkness. And so there he is. Anything that comes up against him is going to look way bright to us after having dealt with him for so many years, and we'll be able to dispel this darkness forever, I hope, in 2008. I keep that prayer in my heart.
Yeah, I'm going to sign off, but I have one quick question. I don't know if you have enough time to answer it, or maybe next show.
Hey, nobody's after me. I can go as long as I want, Don said.
You mentioned about when Bush Sr. didn't think he was going to get reelected again. Is that when he put the gears into motion for this Iraq?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why, when you look at the Clinton and Bush campaign of 1992, you can see a husband and wife team that managed both sides of the political question, the Democrats and Republicans. It was a brilliant time. You know, sometime I'd like to do a whole Mission Possible on that 1992 phony, it was like one more step of just the whole showmanship of elections of presidents. And,
you should do that with the Iowa caucuses coming up and stuff.
Oh, yeah, you know, I think, when are the Iowa caucuses?
No, but when are they? They're like, I don't know, in 2 weeks or something.
In 2 weeks. Well, I'll tell you what, for the new year, I think we should review how it is that these two parties come together and what we see, and I hope that you'll join us on that one. I'm going to make that a special effort for us to concentrate on that in the first 2 weeks of January so that we can really get on the right page. I'm really looking for more intelligent dialogue. I am so happy that you called in, and just leave your, try and contact me through one of those emails and leave me your address, Rebecca.
Oh, you're awesome. God bless.
Happy holidays.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Hey, you see, I'm trying to ask these questions now. If there's somebody out there that wants to kind of come along and tell me, oh, you're crazy, you know, then come on. Antagonistic skepticism is welcome here right now. I'm feeling frosty, but no, I'm going to see what time it is here. What time is it out there in TV land? Huh? 8:03? You know what? I'm going to give it up. I got the family here. They've been so quiet, the Horowitzes, and they're just chomping at the bit to make some noise. It's Christmas, and we're going to get it going on. So I'm just going to say, wherever you go, I want you to know I carry your soul deep inside me. So glad that you know the path you must go. I know I'll be there when you need me. All right. This is the boss. This is Mission Possible. Happy holidays, everybody. We'll be talking to you on Tuesday on Inside Hour. It'll be Christmas Day. I hope to get everything you want. Dr. Len will be coming at you, and we'll continue this conversation. Aloha.